have some special guests. I'm going to bring a scout up that I've asked to lead us in the Pledge to Our Flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Good job. Okay, our clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson?
Present.
Councilmember Hanson?
Here.
Councilmember Olson?
Here.
Councilmember Ingram?
Here.
Councilmember Butler?
Here.
Councilmember Birch?
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich?
Here. All present, counted for. Good job, council. Okay, nice to see a large crowd. So this is the time in the meeting where we go into the public comment period. This is where you can address the council. Anything that's not on tonight's agenda, anything that's on your mind, as long as it's not on tonight's agenda. So anything you'd like to address the council about other than that guy there. Anyone there? Right back there. We'll get you right at that.
How you doing?
Welcome, sir.
I'm Jim LeMaster, a farmer Jim, Santa Jim during the month of December. I started school here in Ferndale 1948 at Central. Went away to work somewhere else for a lot of years, came back and bought a small farm in Ferndale. I now proudly serve on the board of directors of the Ferndale Food Bank. Amen. And I came by to thank you all for your support of the Ferndale Food Bank, Mary Jensen and the council members. You've been great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. Okay, Fred, I think you're next.
I do. I think you're all familiar with me. I've been here a few times.
We still have to get your name. Because
my name is Fred Rudolph. I live on Portal Way.
Thanks, Fred.
And last month I asked about getting improvements for Portal Way in the way of a sidewalk or a bicycle lane or something. And I was promised that the city council would work on it, and I'd like to know what has been done to date.
So you probably should wait, and we can talk on item number 11 on tonight's agenda.
Okay, and I have a letter here from the school district as to how many kids are in the Portal Way area, and it totals about 300. So I'd like to give this to you. So
okay,
if you're going to submit anything to the state, it might help a little bit. And I'd like to comment a little bit on stormwater, if I may.
Oh yeah, that's so you can, because that's on the agenda. So we probably should wait, and you can wait on that one too. So
sure.
We're going to get you back up and.
Okay.
You're going to get your exercise tonight.
Good. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else in the audience?
There's actually some consent here. So we can get them back up.
Oh, the
rates of
them. It's on the consent agenda.
It's on consent agenda.
So. Okay.
So he can speak on it.
Yeah. So I'll bring him up here in a couple seconds. Okay. Does anyone have any empty seats by him? I hate to see people standing.
One right here.
Okay. Okay, so I'll let him sit for a second here. Okay, anyone else on the open speaking period? Looks like you're on. Fred, that was a consent agenda, so we're going to bring you up to talk about stormwater rates, but you can kind of dispose of your thoughts. So we'll let this esteemed gentleman speak, and then you'll be next.
Esteemed, all right.
Yes.
I'm Papa John and 6072 Malloy House, and I have a three-point agenda here. First, starting off with personal, then I'm going to go to plaudits, and then finally presentation. The personal part is I want to announce to you that while I do like to be called Papa John, under informal formal circumstances, like when I get my invitation to the senior prom at the high school, I am looking for formal attire, so I did go to Les Schwab to see if they have one. So perhaps they'll give me one. When I find that, I want you to know in formal situations, and I would like, because people keep saying to me, I'll see you around, which is redundant, right? But so I've decided on formal occasions, you can call me circumference, but only in formal occasions.
Not high?
Don't encourage him.
The second thing is I'd like very much to pass on some plaudits for the... I think I may have said this in the past, but I'll repeat it, because the people who do the real work in the city, we know, are the staff members. And I want to pass on as a citizen of this community my plaudits for the excellent staff that we have. I really am a citizen of this community, very proud of the city council members, our mayor, our city administration, and the guys who do the real and girls that do the real work, the staff members. And now for my third presentation, because we know, now I am nowhere near beginning to be an expert on women, okay? Let me give that caveat first. But one thing I think I know about women is they love it when men are all ears. So with that in mind, I'm going to give the mayor this presentation.
Oh, where was this on Sunday?
I was wearing it. Not that one, but one like it. No, come on, you got to fit it on.
Just for a second.
Yeah.
Okay, they're
growing
ears.
Doesn't that look good?
Oh yeah.
Everybody can go to sleep.
Okay, anyone else besides Fred for the public comment period? Okay, Fred, now, so because the stormwater is on the consent agenda, which is where we'll go now, you can speak on that now. So you can come forward and speak on that. Welcome again.
Hi.
My name is Fred Rudolph again, and I've contacted the state on trying to get a crosswalk across northbound off-ramp coming onto Portal Way, and I'm still waiting on an answer. I called them just today again, and he said, I'll have an answer for you for tomorrow. And it sure would be nice if somebody in the council here could call the state, too, and try and get a crosswalk across that area, because I was told by one of your representatives in the city hall that kids got no business walking down that way.
Hey, Fred.
And that's for the birds.
We're going to talk about safe routes to school on item 11, but you can talk about, you want to talk about stormwater? That's on the consent agenda, so you can talk about stormwater. That's
I'm sorry.
No problem.
Well, on the stormwater bit, I'm getting a little tired of paying for somebody else's property to be improved. And when a new facility is put in there, why isn't the property owners come out with a special, well, you might say an LID? And every time you put a sidewalk in front of somebody's property, the property of that value goes up. Nobody's paying for mine, and I'm getting a little tired of paying for somebody else's improvement. And that's the way I feel about the LID. I know we need to have money to keep the facilities going, and I've never seen anybody even digging, cleaning out the ditches along Portal Way. So what do they use their money for that we're paying every month? And so I'd like to see something done for the money that we're paying, and nothing is being done, as far as I can see.
So if you'd like a detailed answer to that on what we use all our storm funds, we urge you to come to City Hall, and we'll give you a detailed answer.
Yes, I'd like that one.
Okay.
Again, thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, I assume we're done with the open comment period. I don't see anyone else, so we'll move on to consent agenda before you, council.
Move to approve.
Approve.
Okay, I have a motion, and I'll go motion, Councilperson Burt, second, Councilperson Ingram. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, motion carries 7-0. Okay, next up is proclamation. This is a mayor proclamation, City of Ferndale mayor proclamation. Whereas the Academy of American Poets established the month of April as National Poetry Month in 1996, whereas throughout history, poems have been tucked into pockets for commonplace books of the Renaissance to pocket-sized books of World War II, and whereas in partnership with the New York City Department of Cultural Affairs and Education, the Office of the Mayor launched Poem in Your Pocket Day in 2002 as part of the city's National Poetry Month celebration, and whereas in 2008, the Academy of American Poets took the initial national encouraging nationwide participation of individuals by open readings from poems in their pockets. Now, therefore, I, Gary Jensen, do hereby proclaim Thursday, April 24, 2014, as Poem in Your Pocket Day in Ferndale, Washington. I call upon all public officials, educators, librarians, businessmen, and citizens of Ferndale to participate in Poem of Your Pocket Day as an innovative and joyful celebration of the unparalleled wealth of poetic language, read, and share. So my poem in my pocket is, just fold it all up so it's been in my pocket, Children, It's Spring, and this is the lady whom everyone loves, Miss Violet, in her purple gown, or on special occasions of sunlight. She sits in the mossy weeds and waits to be noticed. She loves dampness. She loves attention. She loves especially to be picked by careful fingers, young fingers entranced by what has happened to the world. We, the older ones, call it spring, and we've been through it many times. But there's still nothing like the children bringing home such happiness in their small hands. Mary Oliver. So, and do we have any other politicians with poems in their pocket? While that's read, I will give the mayor proclamation on Poem Your Pocket Day to the chairman of our Arts Commission. So, I believe that Councilperson Ingram has a poem.
No. What did this be?
There are children present, so...
I have been warned that there are children present. This is a poem by one of my favorite people. I wish I had his talents, I really do. This is a poem entitled The Vegetarian's Nightmare. Ladies and diners, I make you a shameful, degrading confession. A deed of disgrace in the name of good taste. Though I did it, I meant no aggression. I had planted a garden last April and lovingly sang it a ballad. But later in June, beneath a full moon, forgive me, but I wanted a salad. So I slipped out and fondled a carrot, caressing its feathery top. With the force of a brute, I tore out the root. It whimpered and came with a pop. Then laying my hand on a radish, I jerked and it left a small crater. Then with the blade of my true temper spade, I exhumed a slumbering tater. Celery I plucked, I twisted a squash, tomatoes were wincing in fear. I choked the romaine, it screamed out in pain, their anguish was filling my ears. I finally came to the lettuce, as it cringed at the top of the row. With one wicked slice I beheaded it twice, as it writhed I dealt a death blow. I butchered the onions and parsley, my hoe was all covered with gore. I chopped and I whacked without looking back, then I stealthily slipped in the door. My bounty lay naked and dying, so I drowned them to snuff out their life. I sliced and they peeled as they thrashed and they reeled on the cutting board under my knife. I violated tomatoes so their innards could never survive. I grated and ground till they made not a sound. And I boiled the tater alive. Then I took the small broken pieces I had tortured and killed with my hands and tossed them together heedless of whether they suffered or made their demands. I ate them. Forgive me, I'm sorry. But hear me, though I'm a beginner. Those plants feel pain, though it's hard to explain, to someone who eats them for dinner. I intend to begin a crusade for plants' rights, including chickpeas. The ACLU will be helping me, too. In the meantime, please pass the blue cheese.
It's going to be that kind of night, isn't it?
No. No. You've lost your chance.
No rebuttals. Sorry.
You had your chance. Okay, next on the agenda, I'd like to bring up our police chief to announce another outstanding person that wants to serve our community.
Excuse my back.
Certainly.
If you look in the back of the room, you'll see a number of scope officers, of course, their wives. I've never felt more comfortable being at council than I do now. I feel so well protected. And it's such a joy to be associated with this group. Scope started 15 years ago. We have 10 officers. They have donated thousands of hours to this city. And we have two of the charter members, before I get to the actual ceremony, two charter members here. They were here from the very beginning, Sergeant Tony Birdsall and his wife Karen, and Marshall Voigt and his wife, Dee. Is that correct? Did I get both of those correct? Okay. We're going to have a ceremony at the police department later. I tried, actually, to make some of this rhyme after I heard the mayor, and you'll appreciate the fact that it won't. We're going to the police department to acknowledge one of my favorite officers, Jim Hawley, who served for 13 years in Scope, 13 years, and donated hundreds of hours. He has served his nation as a Marine, and now he has served his community as a officer of this police department. He's a valued colleague and a dedicated public servant, Jim. You have represented this city very well. You've represented the police department very well. And we thank you for your service, and we wish you every good fortune. And I say to you, Brenda, this may be a blessing. Now, Jim will be home a lot more. Maybe not. And there's no obligation, Jim, for you to speak, but would you please stand up so the people, we can acknowledge your service. Thank you, Jim. I'm grateful to you, Jim, and I'm going to miss you as a friend.
It's been an honor.
Well, you have served so well. You served so well. The police department is global in the way we recruit and hire. As you know, we have an officer from New Zealand. Now we have a new scope officer, Dale Stewart. I've known Dale for a couple of years. He was raised by missionary parents in the Australian outback. I mean, that just has a ring. He's been in the United States Army. He's worked at Elliott Bay Mill Company. He was a technician for the Washington Army National Guard. And over 7 years, a sentry dog, a handler. You don't look 50, Dale, but actually he's celebrating his 50th anniversary. And his wife, Kathy, is here as well. We include the wives because we know scope officers are giving of their time, their retirement time, their leisure time, and in doing so, there is a sacrifice on the part of the family, and so we want to acknowledge the wives, so we always include them in all of our affairs. He was a heavy equipment repairman for the 286 Engineering Company. I have known Dale because he has donated several items to the Veterans Museum, and I have relied on his expertise in explaining to me some of the history of the military memorabilia that we have in the museum. So it's just wonderful that we're now having him come on as one of our officers. He loves to collect old cars, firearms. He loves to fish, and he collects a number of other things. Now, where are you, Dale? Stand up, please. Please acknowledge this new officer. And, Kathy, we are so grateful to you because we know as well that you give up a certain amount of your time to allow Dale to be of service. Now, I want to show you something, but we're going to do the formal ceremony at the police department. But before I leave, this is what we're going to give to Jim. Jim, after 10 years, if you're a scope officer, you get your badge. And so I wanted to show you how smart and handsome this looks. Mm. Don't look, Jim. You're not getting it till later. And I'm going to read it to the public so they can understand. This is the scope officer, Jim Hawley, Ferndale Police Department, in recognition and appreciation for 13 years of honorable and dedicated volunteer service to the Ferndale Police Department and the public safety and welfare of the citizens of the city of Ferndale, Washington. Congratulations to you again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you all. We're going to go and have cake.
So you'll all leave here, all these people leave here and go out and cake and everything while we're here working. It seems to happen on a regular basis here. I don't know who plans this. It's very suspicious. Okay, getting to more serious things. Okay, this is a public hearing on the recreational cannabis business moratorium findings of fact. We'll welcome our planning director, community development director, Yuri Burnett.
Good evening, Council. Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Do you want me to pause for a second?
Yeah, let's pause a second because these people are having way too much fun and being too loud leaving.
Let the meat cake.
We have two unmarked cars.
Okay.
Proceed. Not scope cars.
Okay. Yeah. Council, on March 3rd, 2014, you adopted a six-month moratorium on the establishment of new recreational cannabis outfits, either retail stores or grower processing operations. That did not impact those applicants who had submitted an application to the Liquor Control Board prior to December 20th, 2013, provided that they had not changed their location. As per state law, the City Council is required to hold a public hearing within 60 days of that adoption. That is this public hearing scheduled for tonight. The Council is required to have that hearing and to adopt findings of fact, since you have not yet done so when you initially adopted the ordinance. From staff's perspective, the reason why we recommended that you adopt an ordinance, and we believe the reason why you ultimately approved the moratorium, was because there were still uncertainties related to whether or not there could be new folks that applied for these businesses within the city of Ferndale, and whether or not the Liquor Control Board would allow them to apply. Tonight, I do not have answers for you that would cause staff to recommend that you lift the moratorium or otherwise change it. Whatcom County is scheduled to continue with their deliberations on their ordinance. They've lifted their moratorium, but they're still working on their ordinance. They will consider that tomorrow. The Liquor Control Board is currently doing research pursuant to some of our questions in order to answer those questions, but we don't have those answers. You are under no obligation to change the moratorium tonight. You already have a moratorium in place, and it's scheduled to go on until around or about the 1st of September of this year without any action on your part. So what we are recommending that you do is hold the public hearing. Staff recommends that you adopt the findings of fact that we have attached here in this ordinance. I would draw your attention to number 9 of the ordinance and the findings of fact, which states that the City Council has identified a work plan intended to explore and resolve issues related to security at license.
Do you have a page for that? Or?
Page 46. Intended to explore and resolve issues related to security at licensed recreational marijuana sites. I'm calling your attention to that because we know that at least one council member has raised that as a possible issue. If you do not want to set up a work plan, you're under, again, no obligation to do so. That conversation can be brought up over the next few months. So if you don't discuss it tonight, we would recommend that you adopt this minus number 9, since there would then be no work plan that we have established. I hope that makes sense, what I'm saying. All right. The ordinance says that you basically discussed a work plan and directed staff to proceed with certain things, including the security element. But when you are deliberating, you don't find that you're having that conversation, that you don't come to talking about what you want us to study, you don't need to. But if you don't discuss it, then just make a motion not to include number 9. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have. The city attorney, Dan Trexler, is here as well to answer any questions. Again, this is a public hearing.
Also, questions of technical nature. It is a public hearing, so no opinion questions. questions of technical nation. For the audience, because some people may not understand it, we talked about this in committee. So right now within the city of Ferndale, because they are basically grandfathered in, we have what applications that are not affected by this moratorium right now?
Yes, sir. So the city of Ferndale has received two applications for marijuana grow and processing operations. One of them is in the 6100 block of Portal Way. The other one is down on Whitehorn, down by Slater Road. We are aware, based on the Liquor Control Board's list of applications, of two other grow and processing operations, although we have not been contacted by those applicants. So we don't know the status of whether they're still moving forward or not. The Liquor Control Board has also received one application for a retail store. That's on Portal Way. And we have been in contact with those individuals. They have not applied for a business license or a tenant improvement with the city of Ferndale. Those are the exact locations and numbers that we had for you as of March 3rd, and they had applied to the Liquor Control Board prior to December 20th. So there's been no change since that time.
Okay. Questions of a technical nature for staff? Councilperson Ingram?
You say we haven't been contacted by the person who's proposing a retail outlet. Is it possible that he's waiting for this week's lottery to see if he's even going to get the license from the state?
We have actually talked to them about it, so we know who they are. What they indicated to us was, and I think that all of these applicants are kind of doing the same calculus, how much do they invest in the infrastructure and the physical building before they get certainty from the state, because sometimes there's significant tenant improvements, infrastructure changes. In this case, the city of Ferndale has been allotted one retail store, and only one retail applicant has applied. So if they can meet our standards, the city standards, and provided that there's no deficiencies in their application to the state, we would anticipate that they would be that retail store.
Any other questions of staff? Councilperson Mutchler?
Yeah, thank you. A couple of questions. I thought at one time there were three applicants for the retail. You had actually provided some addresses. Could you reconcile these two statements?
Well, I don't know that I can say the whys, but we were utilizing information through the Bellingham Herald from the Liquor Control Board, where as you might remember, the Bellingham Herald had posted here are the applications that had been received. At that time, our understanding of the mapping was that there was down over off of Pacific Highway, south of Smith, and that there was another retail operation proposed
on Portal,
exactly. Once we were preparing for the moratorium and the city clerk actually got a spreadsheet directly from the Liquor Control Board, those other retail stores were no longer on it. Whether or not that was a change in the application, whether there was a deficiency, whether they dropped out, I don't know, but that was the official list that we got from the state, so there is only one retail store based on that official list.
And then my only other question is clarification of a paragraph on your staff report, page 43, I'll just read it. From staff's perspective, the unpublished reinterpretation of the Liquor Control Board rules, combined with Whatcom County's moratorium and Linda's prohibition, added substantial risk to the city of Ferndale. And what does staff feel are those substantial risks or risks? I didn't understand what you were thinking there.
Well, that there was, I possibly should have clarified, the possibility of substantial risk, and maybe that's implied that it's always a possibility, that if we had applicants who were more or less fully capitalized, that had investors or that had the funds available to go into business, that if they suddenly found that Whatcom County had adopted a moratorium, and if they'd wanted to go into Whatcom County, or that they wanted to go into Linden, and then Linden established a prohibition, that they would say, we still want to make a go of it somewhere in this local area, what jurisdictions is this still possible in, Ferndale and Bellingham, let's go to Ferndale. So we did not know. Whatcom County had approximately 300 applicants, I believe. Conceivably, potentially not realistically, but conceivably, each of those 300 applicants might say, gosh, we want to go into Ferndale. And that, for staff, was a risk. It might be that council and staff could ultimately say, that's okay, that's great to be to have 300 new businesses, but that we had not anticipated that in our ordinance, and we wanted to give council and staff and the Planning Commission the opportunity to determine, is there 300, or is it closer to 10, or is it closer to zero? And depending on what number it was, what changes, if any, do we need to make in our ordinance in order to protect the city? And perhaps the answer, even if there were 300 coming in, would be nothing, that this is a free market exercise of, you know, Ferndale happens to be a point of attraction for these 300 new businesses. But because there was the potential that they could come in and get vested, subject to our ordinance, we felt that we needed to provide council and staff and the Planning Commission with sufficient time to make a good, reasoned decision.
Would you permit me to summarize that back, just to make sure I got it? So the staff's position is that staff and council is comfortable with the ordinance that we had in place, which allowed a certain number, one retail and however many manufacturers and growers that showed up. And you considered staff considered a risk that there could be more, and council has not really decided whether they're comfortable with more, whatever more is. That was the main risk, was the number, not the fact of retail, obviously, or the fact of growing, the possibility that we could be a magnet towards a number of those businesses.
Exactly. When we initially adopted the ordinance, I at least believe, I can only speak for me, that Ferndale would likely get its share, that the market would probably drive that, that with moratoriums in place in other jurisdictions, it reduced the supply of locations for these, and then would, as a result, increase the demand in the other locations beyond what the market would otherwise support. And so that calculation was something that did not go into our existing ordinance. And again, perhaps it would not require a change, but it does require, we believe, time to think about it.
And this is not for tonight, obviously. This is a finding of fact, but that issue could come up in a few months.
Certainly.
If we believe it's possible that we could be opening the doors here.
And because I cannot answer you with whether or not that is still a possibility, that's why we want to preserve the moratorium at this time. It might be that there are zero orphans out there, in which case your path might be more clear.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions of staff? Okay, seeing none, we'll move to the public hearing portion. A public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the council for consideration in the decision-making process. Written comments may also be submitted to the city clerk prior to the beginning of the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Audience members who have signed up prior to the beginning of the meeting will be called first to speak at the public hearing. If you're unable to sign up before the meeting, you'll be given an opportunity to address the council once we've gotten through all the speakers listed on the hearing sheets. Each speaker should state his or her name, address the record, will be given 3 minutes to address the council. When a large group of individuals supports the same position on an issue, we encourage the selection of one or two representatives to speak on behalf of the entire group. So I will open up the public hearing at 6:33:42. And do we have anyone signed up on our sheet, Yuri?
Not yet, but I believe that we do have folks who are interested.
Okay, so we're going to go to the polite hands-up portion. So anyone who would like to speak on this issue? Anyone wearing shirts like the mayor?
Are you speaking to me?
Sure, I'll go first. Come forward, sir. Welcome. Very attractive shirt, I might add.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I have caught you past council members. My name is Jim Doran. I'm here speaking on behalf of the North Shore Corporation, urging you to lift the moratorium as to the processing, production and processing of the marijuana. North Shore Corporation has a parcel of property here in the city of Ferndale on Brown Road, which is zoned light industrial. It's on the periphery of the city of Ferndale. it's the North Shore Corporation's position that between the state law and the code that's now been enacted by the city of Ferndale, there are very limited numbers of locations that can be used for the lawful processing and production of marijuana by licensed applicants. Our concern as a landowner is we're not going to apply to be an applicant or a licensee. We want to be a landlord and provide a location that fits all the requirements of the City of Ferndale Code and the State of Washington law to provide otherwise licensed and approved applicants through your screening process to manufacture, produce, and process marijuana. Our company is concerned that there is a good chance that these applicants will go other places if this moratorium goes on. We know that you share the concerns of security, criminal activity, that these operations occur at a appropriate location. We feel that the law and the code that you've enacted protects that. We share the same concerns that you do. As a landlord, we don't want illawful activity out there. We want security. We want you to be happy. And we feel that you've protected yourself with the state statute and the county code already. And that if you persist in the moratorium, your opportunity for significant revenues for a parcel of property in the periphery that otherwise will not be tax-generating revenues for the city of Ferndale and is not going to be very profitable for the North Shore Corporation could go away. Now, what we're saying is go into this slowly. You're going to have SEPA involvement in this. Your own statute requires that these applications can be screened, reviewed, denied at your pretty much at your discretion with reasonable criteria. I mean, even make it a conditional use. But what our concern is that the applicants or the approved applicants for this that we want to provide a site for are going to go elsewhere. Now, I've put our concerns in a written memorandum that I've provided you all copies of, and I don't know, Gary, how long I've talked
you
up
have,
here.
38 seconds.
All right, 38 seconds. If anyone has any questions of me, I'd be glad to answer.
Any questions for this guest? Okay.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, anyone else on this issue? Anyone else on this issue? No. Okay. Come forward. Welcome, sir.
You can squeeze your way up there.
Name's Anthony McLeod. I live at 1965 Somerset Street. I find it very hard to believe that Ferndale would be that hard-strapped to bring such a industry into this town. It's you ask anybody in Whatcom County what they know about Ferndale, and they'll say, guys got a lot of banks and got a lot of bars for the size. And I don't think that this should be an industry that should be brought into Ferndale. It's not a very family-friendly industry, and it gives a wrong perspective of what Ferndale really is. Thanks.
Any questions for this guest? Okay, so now,
thank you. Okay, anyone else for the public hearing? Anyone else? Going once? Going right there. Welcome, sir.
I'm Stel Papa John. Still live at 6072 Malloy, and I just want to echo what the last gentleman said, because I, as a Ferndale resident, want to see us to be what we are, as far as I'm concerned, which is a wholesome, family-oriented community that people are drawn to for that very fact. So I believe that the moratorium that we have on should be a priority so that we can do what's best for Ferndale, irrespective of possible other future income. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else? Okay.
My name is Fred Rudolph. I live on 6350 Portal Way. And on this marijuana, I think it's a total mistake for the city to be doing anything like this. And as an example, why don't you look at the statistics that's coming out of Colorado? They got more DUIs, they got more children in trouble, and I think it's a mistake, and I think you're all heading for a lot of trouble. It'll just be a beginning of it. And somehow it seems to trickle down to the younger kids.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else on this subject? Okay, we'll close the public hearing at 6:40. And I saw one hand up, Councilperson Mutchler, then Councilperson Goodrich.
Yeah, I'd like to move the approval of the findings of fact as presented by staff minus nine. The number, help me out.
Nine.
Number nine.
I second.
Okay, motion second. Further discussion. Councilperson Goodrich.
I had a question that came to my mind after the gentleman sat down that gave us the, don't remember your name, sir. Question for Yori on this, and both of them. If we didn't have the moratorium in place and somebody wanted, would they have to go to the state and apply to be in his building or thing? I'm concerned because he wants to be a landlord. I'm not sure how the process would work for somebody to bring a processing business into his facility.
Well, it's one of the questions that we have for the Liquor Control Board. Yes, they would need to be licensed by the state. Our understanding was that all applications had to be specific to a location prior to December 20th, and that was one of the reasons why we recommended placing this moratorium in effect, because we heard from the Liquor Control Board that, in fact, there were opportunities to change the location of the applications after December 20th. Since no application, to the best of our knowledge, had been made at this location in particular, prior to December 20th, it would be our understanding that in order for an application to be made, there would have to be a new window or the changing of applications to occur. We don't know what order of magnitude would be allowed by the state, if any, and so we're wanting those questions answered.
So even if there was no moratorium, there's no guarantee that he would get one of these processing places in his facility.
Correct. There's an element of risk. Any applicant has to go through both the Liquor Control Board and then through the City of Ferndale.
And my other question is in regard to the motion that was made, the removal of option number 9. I'm not really understanding why we're removing number 9 or what that entails or type of thing. I'm not sure how to vote because of that.
So if you went forward with Councilmember Mutchler's motion, the moratorium would remain in place until you lifted it or until the beginning of September. Any time during that time period, we as a full council or committee or a joint session of Planning Commission and council could convene, and I would hope that we would convene if there are still issues remaining, to discuss what issues you want to have resolved, if it's beyond just what's the county's rule and what are the Liquor Control Board rules. In theory, you could have that conversation tonight, and if you choose not to, though, we can always have it another day within the next 4.5 months. It looks like that would be the direction that Councilmember Mutchler is suggesting, that we close this agenda item tonight with the adoption, and that sometime over the next 4.5 months we convene and talk about more precisely what Council and Planning Commission really want to have looked at.
Okay, Greg, I have some concerns about the security issues that have been kind of mentioned and brought up, so that's what I'm concerned. If we vote this way, that all of a sudden that doesn't get addressed, or how that's going to get addressed in the future type of thing.
I think
that goes back to a committee?
Through the committee, at least, where then the committee might say, if we are adopting permanent changes or considering permanent changes to the ordinance, it would need to go through the Planning Commission as well. But we would get direction from committee. I think from hearing you today and seeing Councilmember Olson looking at me and possibly in the future nodding, that we would address those security issues or at least discuss them. I think that if we were to bring it back to committee, that would be very reasonable.
Okay. Councilperson Ingram?
Yuri, clarify something for me, please, because I'm old and sometimes my old brain leaks a lot. When we annexed into the city a couple of years ago from just about where Enterprise takes off and went up Portal Way to Grandview and just slightly beyond, we annexed that strip of land in, but did we not? We didn't annex in anything west of the railroad tracks.
We did not. Is this
so? As far as I know, Brown Road and Molloy is not in the city limits.
But Brown Road and Molloy is. It actually came in the North Ferndale annexation in 1994. Another can of worms. It came in 1994. It is yet to be served with public water or public sewer. Different conversation that we would like to have with you, but it is in the city.
Okay. All right. Before my time.
Councilperson Olson?
I don't know about you, but I'm still confused. What you're saying is we haven't really done number 9, and that's why you want it stricken?
You have not provided staff with direction, nor do you need to, as far as what you want to be studied beyond simply having the Liquor Control Board questions answered and the Whatcom County Council questions answered. You don't need to direct us at this time. You would still have the expectation that we would address it. You just have not adopted a formal work plan for us to follow.
Okay. Why would you even put that in there?
In case you did discuss it, so we were... Yes. Okay. Yeah.
All right, now I...
We were trying to be proactive.
Don't do that.
Don't do that again.
Confuse old guys, man.
Okay, any further questions on the motion before you? Councilperson Mutchler.
And again, I'm not against that issue. I just didn't think that tonight was the night.
No, right.
So otherwise, we'd be going through that.
Okay, you have a motion and a second before you. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries 7-0.
Thank you, Council.
Nobody else. Next up, ordinance on sewer water connection incentive. We'll go to Public Works.
Thank you, Council Members. I guess I wrote this, so I'll speak about it. There was a suggestion from the Public Works Director that the previous water and sewer connection incentive ordinance that expired in August of 2013 be renewed, basically, and so that's what's before you. It will go through, just until September 2016. The only difference from the previous version of this is we put in some language that makes sure that it's very clear that we're providing this incentive for people to get off septic onto public sewer, and that they actually need to start doing the work, that they don't need to come in and pay for that discounted rate and then do nothing and just hold on to that discount until, say, they flip the property and make someone else do that work. So what it says is that in order to continue to hold this discount, they also have to be working under an encroachment permit of the city of Ferndale. That has some time limits tied to it of 180 days. So that's the only change from the previous iteration of this language, and staff recommends approval.
Questions of staff. Councilperson Olson?
How much does this cost us in lost revenue?
Mark?
About $6,000 a pop. $6,000.
So approximately $6,000 per connection for sewer.
We've only had two.
We had the janitor part. That's quite a successful thing.
About 7 or 8 have taken advantage of the program.
Mobile village. So that's quite a number of customers.
So obviously the issue is a public health issue, so we're trying to encourage them to get off septic before they fail and cause even additional environmental issues.
I should just comment. Is it Lamplighter or the other one?
Yeah, the Lamplighter mobile home. So
they converted from septic to sewer, and they took advantage, and there's about 30 hookups. They took advantage of this.
So are you saying, Mark, that you think that offsets what we lose, what it costs us?
It certainly helps to get the revenue every other month, the minimum billing on sewer. And, of course, it does support the public health in terms of our wells are nearby there. to me, it was a good move.
Well, my concern is we're jacking up rates, we're adding things, our funds are needing additional cash flow, yet we're giving it away for people that are eventually going to have to do what they're supposed to do anyway.
Sewer is not a fund that needs additional cash flow at this time. So, I mean, our utility funds are three very separate things. They're all enterprise funds that have their own revenue sources and expenses. So
you don't have any...
Specifically related to sewer.
Is coming for those?
Mark, I don't believe currently.
The current 6-year look ahead on sewer is, other than cost of living raises, no plan raises until a year or two before we expand or get a new sewer plant, approximately 2018.
Thank you. Councilperson Mutchler, and then Councilperson Watson after that.
Yeah, I share a lot of sentiments of Councilmember Olson, but I sort of see this like the cable company hooking up for free, and then they've got you for the next 100 years. And so the revenues, not only are the revenues from the sewer, some of those people may not have even been water customers, so now you have a utility customer, and now they get the storm, our lovely storm fee gets added, and our 9% utility tax. So it's a net. I think that $6,000 is covered in just a few years. So I think it's a good deal for the city, and good deal for public health, as mentioned too.
Mm-hmm. Councilperson Watson, then Hansen.
I think just to reiterate, I'd like to see it done just for public health reasons. I don't want all those people with all those septic systems, some being maintained, some not. And maybe they would do it when they should, but I think we had really good luck by doing it. I'd like to see those septic systems go away.
Great. Councilperson Hansen?
You don't think I can talk a lot about that? Remember, these are what I would call grandfathered septic systems. You cannot go out today and get a new septic system in the city of Ferndale unless the city can't provide service. Go back out there and talk about that Brown Road. You can get a septic tank out there because while it's in the city, we don't provide service. And but by and large, what we're talking about are septic systems that are currently existing in the city. Some of them already are hooked up to water. And they aren't hooked up to sewer, and so what we're doing is we're cleaning out all of these because once they've made the commitment to back over to sewer, they can't go back to the septic. They're done. And if someone properly maintains and takes care of their septic system, it can go on for 20 years, and even though the sewer line might go right by 20 feet away, we can't force them on, only when it fails. So what we're doing is giving them an incentive. Let's do this before it fails.
Councilperson Goodrich?
This is more of a curiosity question. Do we know how many septic systems we have in our city? Anybody have any idea?
Water only, Mark?
Mm-hmm. Too many.
50. Maybe I can address that. We have many more equivalent units of water customers than we do sewer customers. So I can get the numbers to you, email them tomorrow, but it's 600-800 fewer equivalent sewer customers hookups than water customers.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That means 800 hookups out there, actually?
Including multifamily.
Could be. I mean, you think
including multifamily.
It's units, total units. Yeah. I'll send you the data.
I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah, it is kind of curious.
Councilperson Ingram and then Councilperson Mutchler.
Well, the question brought up another question to me. Do we know how many, if any, septic systems are up on Church Road? Now that we're about to bulldoze that whole hillside, boy, it would be the best time in the world for some of those places up there to say, okay, I'm going to use some of the money you paid me for my right-of-way to hook up to your sewer system. I mean, I don't know if there's any up there or not. Do you?
Yeah.
Well, just you? Oh.
As you go up to...
I didn't know whether the doctor's
as you go up to... No, those are all on sewer. As you go up Church Road, the sewer is already at Heights. So anybody from Heights on up is either hooked up or should be hooked up. But there may be a couple of others along there. Down at the very bottom, there's no sewer service. There will be after the Church Road project. I'm going to encourage my neighbors, which are the church, the people that live up the hill. In fact, we have some right-of-way things where they can bring their sewage lines down and hook up to the city, because everybody above me, up to the ridge, they're all on septic.
Okay, staff would like to respond over here, and then staff over here.
So I defer to the public works director.
Okay. Public works first.
Yeah, there's a couple property owners along Church that have already paid for that the reduced rate when it was first available. And then we took a look at it again, and I think there might be six other property owners that could sign up again. So that's where we are hoping very much
so
that
they
take
front,
advantage of it.
Do they actually front on Church?
Most of them. Yeah.
Write them a nice letter and say, pretty pleased, now's your chance.
Yeah, because once this is approved, then we're going to notify them, and hopefully they'll take advantage of this.
Did you want to respond more, Scott?
Yeah, that was my main point, but I know that Katie worked directly with property owners when we were doing right-of-way acquisition and suggesting letting them know individually that this discount was available while it was still available.
Councilperson Mutchler and then Watson.
I'd like to make a motion that council adopt the incentives per staff recommendation.
Second.
Okay, been moved and second. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, something that has not occurred fast enough for the mayor. Next item, the bid award for the water softening project for the city of Ferndale.
Apparently our water is hard.
Welcome.
Thank you. Now, good evening, council, mayor, and staff. On April 10th, we opened up construction bids for our water treatment, water softening project. And this contract is for the construction of two water treatment reverse osmosis units and the associated piping, controls, electrical panels, wiring, programming, and other related work. And in this base bid, we also included the wiring and the plumbing for a third unit. So at a later date, once we had that need for that third unit, we would just be able to install the equipment. So in addition to doing that, we added an alternate bid item for that third unit so that we could at least get some idea on what the cost would be and to give council the option of, if the price was, the cost was good, give council the option of purchasing that unit now versus later, because there could be quite a savings involved with that. And so, but the thing at the cost, it does not include the purchasing the membranes. That there we would do at a later date. And this question did come up in the committee. To purchase the membranes at a later date, the cost is $80,000. So I think that was the number that I mentioned, and I just double-checked on that, and that's what the cost. So we would have that. We would hold off on that. Okay, so the low bid was received from Tiger Construction in the amount of $1,541,431.22. That's the base bid. And then for alternate bid item B1, the additional reverse osmosis package, that cost was $347,840 for a combined amount of $1,889,271.22. And the engineer's estimate for the project base bid, including the alternate, is just a little over $2.2 million. And staff is recommending council approve Tiger's base bid, the alternate, and then plus a 10% contingency for a total amount of $2,078,198.34. Any questions?
Councilperson Olson first hand up, and then Councilperson Goodrich is next.
I'd like to move the approval of AB 1404010 for the amount voted by Janice.
Second.
Second.
Okay, move and second. Further discussion. Councilor Persson.
That's what I was going to do.
Okay. Any other further discussion?
And you did include the alternate, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
As recommended.
Okay. Okay, as recommended by staff. Mm-hmm. Okay, any further discussion on this issue? All in favor, signify with a hearty aye.
Hearty aye, ho, ho.
All opposed. Thank you, thank you, thank you. 7-0.
Thank you.
Is that fast enough for you?
And it'll be completed by, we hope, by
September. By the end of September.
Tomorrow.
Right. But there will be a transition period. But the equipment will be operational by the end of September.
A start date?
As soon as possible.
Yes. Tomorrow. Oh, you mean for the contractor?
Yeah.
City Council, we're going to send out the contract documents tomorrow. Then they have 10 days to sign, get their insurance bond, return it to the city. Then we issue notice to proceed the next day.
Okay. So staff, safe routes to school grant.
Okay. That's good. Okay, right now there's two call for projects, two grant programs that are available. One is a bike ped program, and the other one is the Safe Routes to School program. So we discussed both of these at the committee last week, and because of the timeline with the Safe Routes to School, we need to bring that forward and go over that with City Council tonight. And then the other one will follow. We'll talk about that one next week. And so on the Safe Routes to School, you know, there's some mention about getting a grant for Portal Way. Portal Way, the kids do not walk to school along Portal Way. They are bused. So that project is not eligible for the Safe Routes to School. So we will be, but we will be talking about that one at the next City Council meeting. So tonight it's on the Safe Routes to School. And I have Tony Siegerman, our Public Works Program Specialist, here tonight. She's going to provide just some general information about the funding program. And then I'm going to cover the project that we're recommending for submittal. And we do have a PowerPoint slide. So.
Handouts of the presentation. One thing is on the last page. You have a copy of our current TPD list, and it is a little bit hard to read. But you'll be able to read it up here on the big screen. So I apologize for that.
Good evening, Council, Mr. Mayor, staff. Safe Routes to Schools program, their purpose basically is to increase the number of children walking and biking to school safely. So, if I can get this to work here. Maybe. There we go. Some of the Safe Route goals are to improve health, reduce air pollution, reduce pedestrian and bicycle collisions, and reduce traffic congestion. It can also lead to some cost savings for the schools and individuals, and then obviously a lifetime walking and biking skills habits. The criteria in order to apply for this loan is, or I'm sorry, it's not a loan, it's a grant. To apply for this grant are you must be a public agency in Washington, and you have to be 2 miles from school. There is no match requirement for this, however, they give higher ratings, higher rankings if we do provide a match. I think the intention is to do that. This is our timeline for the Safe Routes funding. The applications are due May 5th. That's why we're here tonight. That would then go to basically the governor's office and state legislature. They put a list together, and the final decision on that would be December of 2014. The grants would then be awarded in 2015, and then funds would be available, but must be expended by 2017. With that, I'm going to hand it over to Janice to get into the specifics of the actual project. Some of the eligible, which I don't have a slide for this, but eligible projects for this grant are sidewalks, then crossing improvements is another one that's funded a lot. On-street bicycle facilities, so bike lanes. And then you can also do bicycle parking facilities, speed feedback signage, as well as educational materials. So with that, I will hand it over to Jan.
Quick question.
Sure.
What do you mean by feedback signage?
Feedback signage are those police signs usually see. It says your speed is, and then you're usually doing five over. At least typically, that's what most people are doing. All right.
She's not here, so.
Perfect timing.
All right. So when we start looking at different streets to come up with projects, we look at the zoning maps that we have, see kind of what's planned for the future, you know, the multifamily residential type areas. We also have to look at our federally functional classification map. Each of our roads are classified on kind of their function in our overall transportation system. There's some routes that are not eligible for federal and state funds, depending on what they're classified. And we are limited on the streets that we can classify. So it's not like you can just say, oh, the whole city, all of our streets are classified, all of them are eligible. Usually like the local access roads, those are not eligible for any state and federal grants. So we have to look at that. And then we take a look at our transportation, the comp plan, the projects identified in our transportation element. And we have our 6-year transportation improvement program. And now we have our transportation benefit district project list. We kind of compile all that information to try to come up with a project that will meet the criteria for these different grants. So the one that we've identified for this program is Washington Street from Vista to 2nd Avenue. This street provides access to the high school, and there's definitely a lack of pedestrian facilities in that area. And like I stated, this Washington is on our comp plan. Our transportation comp plan, it is also on our TBD list. I think it's on there for like 2018. We did submit for Washington for a TIB grant a couple years ago, but that project was not selected. Vista was selected instead. And the other thing is on Washington Street, we actually have a few recorded pedestrian accidents. It's one of the few locations in the city. So that's why it makes... You know, with that list and those recorded accidents, it makes it, you know, a more competitive project for these grant funds. Okay. Whoops. Wrong way. Sorry about that. Do you think it's right? Okay. So this shows existing conditions. So you can see there's it's a little bit dark, but we've got the high school there, and then along Washington. I think I've got a couple photos, but this is on our project limits. We were looking. You know, over there on the right-hand side, just into 2nd Avenue, then going all the way to Vista. And here's a couple photos that show, you know, on the one on the north side, there's not a sidewalk. It's just where the pavement's been widened and extruded curb has been added. And then on the south side, there's a couple sections of sidewalk. It's not complete. Some are in pretty poor condition, and they do not meet the ADA requirements. Okay, so this is what we're proposing, and we're recommending that to not only do sidewalk improvements, but also address the condition of the pavement to do that work at the same time. And we have like, you know, two options to consider. So for like a full roadway reconstruct for that section of street, we're looking at about $825,000. So if we waited until, you know, we wanted to do like the perfect project where we dig everything out, put in complete drainage system, brand new, that's the dollar amount that we're looking at. Or as an alternative, which we've done this on a couple other projects, is instead of the full reconstruct, do an overlay with dig out. So the really bad areas, we would remove that material and then replace it. Then we install curb gutter sidewalks, and then there's some minimum stormwater improvements that we would need to do. And that there, our rough estimate at this time is $500,000. And so what we look at is, okay, we're going to piece together some funding sources in order to try to make this project possible. So the one we're talking about tonight are the Safe Routes to School grant. So for the curb, gutter, and sidewalk, we could submit for a grant for $125,000 to cover that. Then we could resubmit to TIB. Under their arterial preservation program for the street overlay, and we estimated that at the $225,000. Then using some of our TBD funds, the matching, we could use those for matching dollars, $100,000. And then for utility funds, have this storm fund cover the minimum, which we're kind of estimating at $50,000 to cover that cost. So that total there is for the $500,000. So on our TBD list, and I know it's really hard to read, we're showing Washington, and we had plugged in $300,000. What this does, it provides us with a way to possibly reduce the amount of funds that we need out of the TBD and to hopefully take advantage of these other grant funds. We may have to apply for the grant funds, you know, more than once. And I, on the safe routes, we have until 2017 to use those funds. So that would give us a couple opportunities to apply for TIB money. And then if we're able to get that outside funding and then just use $100,000 from the TBD, then we're able to do another project. So this here, it helps us, you know, kind of stretch those TBD dollars so that we're able to do more projects. And so what, I don't know if we have, I think that's it then. So I guess what staff are looking for, council input, direction on this approach, because then we would move forward with submitting the Safe Routes to School application for Washington Street on this call for projects.
Okay, questions of staff?
Yeah, I do.
Wait until you shut down the light. So, Janice, before we get started, because I'll ask the question, because I'll save Fred from asking the question. So why couldn't we apply for any funds for Porta Way?
Because under Safe Routes to School, what you're promoting are kids walking or biking to school. Kids do not walk, well, they're not supposed to, walk or bike along Porta Way to get school, to get to the school. They are all bused.
So according to school district, that group of students, they are busing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right, and but that project, we're looking at that one under the Bike Ped program. And so it's eligible under that program.
Oh,
it fits that better.
So we could come back and
mm-hmm.
apply for a bike path, which is not a sidewalk.
Which we are working on that grant application, and we'll have that in front of the council at the next council meeting.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Great. Okay.
So at least we have the two options, two programs.
Okay. Question to staff. Councilperson Watson was first, then Councilperson Ingram.
I'm just curious. I'm trying to compare the two costs, the $500,000 versus the $825,000. So is there one main thing that's different, or is it just a bunch of little things that add up? Would you, are you going to put new, you wouldn't put new stormwater pipes in?
Right, because under the overlay, we're really, we're scaling it back. And we're also leaving some of the sidewalk in place.
Oh.
So it'd be like a Vista project. So
okay.
Vista project isn't like totally brand new. We left some of the street in place because we just needed to really stretch the dollars in order to fix that street.
I'm curious how old those storm pipes are in the sewer pipes. Do you know how old all that stuff is?
They're made out of cedar.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, so for storm, I think we could get by with minimal, and we don't need any water or sewer upgrades.
Yeah, okay. We actually replaced the sewer line on Washington and down Golden Eagle 8 years ago, 9 years ago.
Okay.
It was one of our only big capital projects back then.
Okay.
Yeah, so less
that's
utility
why, that's
work.
That's go down the street. You can see the street cut with the hatch.
My concern was that something would fail, and 3 years later we'd have to dig it up.
Well, we hope with the storm that we would, kind of like just with Vista, we're hoping we're doing enough that it's still going to give us quite a few years.
Okay.
Councilperson Ingram?
Well, my only question, Janice, I just want to make sure that this money is going to probably not even come in until 2015.
Yes, that's my understanding, that it wouldn't be a
okay.
bit, that we would not move forward on it until, if we got the funding, we would not move forward on it until 2015 anyway.
Okay. My only concern was we don't tear up Washington while churches.
No, we're not going to do that.
Councilor Hendricks?
I was just calling this back up. As far as this goes, what are you looking for us? A motion to proceed
mm-hmm.
is what you're looking for us?
Yes.
Then I would make that motion that you proceed with the Safe Routes to School grant, the application.
Second.
Councilperson Birch?
I have a question on Portal Way. Do the school children have a safe route to get to the bus stops, and is that a safe area for them to wait for the bus?
We haven't really taken a close look at that yet. You know, we haven't, this one here, because of the timeline, we've looked at this one a little bit closer. But then we were asked to bring additional information back to the committee next Wednesday. So we'll take a look at that and discuss that at the committee.
Okay. Certainly there's a wide right-of-way, but there's no mm-hmm. sidewalks at all in that area. Zero.
Yeah. I mean, it might be interesting to find out just where the bus stops are.
There's several little those mm-hmm. little huts where the kids kind of mm-hmm. gather in the inclement weather. There's a number of those along there.
Okay, there's been a motion and a second. Further discussion on that motion? We may want to go to the audience. I know that we had an audience member who wanted to speak on this issue when it was on the agenda. I don't know if that audience member still wants to. So, okay to go to the audience?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay, would you like to come forward and speak on this issue?
There's an amendment back there.
Motion second to...
My greetings, council members. My name is Joshua Matson, and I live on Ferndale 1580 Main Street. And I wanted to point out and describe my concerns for the price of the fixing of the roadways. I think that it's a little bit too out of hand for Ferndale, because we already have a lot of things that we need to fix here in this city, and we also have a lot of taxes that we need to be paid towards the city, so I just really don't like the idea of having another project for this city, because we already got Church Road being fixed up there, and I don't really think it's a good idea to do another project. So that's all I have to say on that one. Thank you, council members.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next.
Well, I'm glad I was able to raise the county to do something for some of the kids in part of town, but I was really after Portal Way, and apparently it looks like we're not getting much done. At least I could not hear anything of being done for Portal Way. Can't we at least get a trail off the road or something to get the kids off the road?
That's what she's going to come back with a grant next council meeting. For a bike.
Well, why didn't this come up first? This is what I asked for. I didn't ask for the other school bits right now.
I have a response.
Okay.
Well, is there a different priority in the city or what?
Yeah. Well, that's staff response.
It has to do with the timeline. The Safe Routes to School grant is due on May 5th, so we had to bring that to council today. Otherwise, we were going to miss that deadline. The bike head grant. That there, we have an additional week or two before that is due. So that will be brought back. That will be brought to council at the next city council meeting. And we'll still meet the deadline.
But can't we do something to get the kids so they don't have to walk through puddles alongside of the road? I mean, can't we afford a few hundred thousand dollars out of the city budget to fix up something?
Well, that's what you'll see come forward. It's just a difference of one grant coming.
Why can't that be done now?
There's no money. There's not $100,000.
You mean we don't have any employees in the city to do something?
We don't have $100,000 in the budget, Fred, for path, unfortunately.
How about some of the employees that we have for the road? Yeah, they do some. You never see anybody on the walking along the road there in Portal Way, not even to fix a hole in the road. Is there something going on here? Don't you recognize Portal Way or what? How about an answer from somebody?
Looks to me like we're putting lots of time into Portal Way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're putting time in here. I'm putting time in here.
Well, that's the process.
And
the situation of all of our road tax dollars doesn't stay in Ferndale. It's collected and goes to Olympia.
I understand that.
And we asked to bring it back, and so you're actually looking at, two projects.
Well, I hate to see one of our children get hurt and see that ambulance coming along and picking up a kid off the road, because that's where they are. They're out there with their bicycles and their skateboards on the road, and there's more and more traffic. You've never even put a counter on that road to see how much traffic that road has.
I think we have.
Yeah, I believe we put counters on a regular basis.
I haven't seen any on Portal Way. I've been here for 8 years.
Councilperson Hansen?
Fred, 1981, I lost a very important student in my high school band in an accident on Church Road. I have advocated something be done on Church Road since 1981. We're finally getting to it.
You're not going to have to wait 3 years.
So. Projects
yeah.
don't just instantly happen.
Yeah, I'm not asking for a big project, even to just to clean up and at least fill in the puddles along
There's
the road so the kids don't have to walk through
it. In the city that need to get done.
Anything would be appreciated.
Thank you.
Working at
now, I don't have any kids here. In this county, but I hate to see kids get hurt.
Thank you.
Mayor?
Yes? Councilperson Goodrich?
Yeah, I just want to say that I share your concerns. Councilmember Hansen says we have a lot of areas of our city that have needs for sidewalks. It's part of a growing city from the county. The county doesn't require sidewalks. We take over the streets, and now they're deficient by our standards. But I have to give credit to our city staff. They are very good at going out and finding money and getting us grants and different things for projects like the Safe Route to Schools and for the bike trail and type thing for Portal Way. But it's not a thing that one is better than the other as far as tonight is concerned. It's just a timing issue of when the paperwork has to get to the state. So... give our staff a couple weeks. They'll be back here with another proposal for Portal Way, and we'll get that going through the state. We'll find out what the timeline and things is. But our staff here does an excellent job of finding this money and has allowed us to do a lot of projects in the city that wouldn't have otherwise gotten accomplished if it wasn't.
I understand that. Well, I just gave you a letter from the school district. There was 300 kids off of Portal Way. That's a lot of kids.
They're supposed to all be on the bus.
Pardon?
They are supposed to, by according to the school district, all those children are bused.
Yeah, they're bused, but what are they going to do when school's out? They're going to be on the road.
Yes, they are. That's kind of a parental problem, too.
That's it. That's what I'm trying to get away from.
We will keep trying.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Councilperson Mutchler, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I did. And I just wanted to, pardon me?
I'm sorry. I didn't see any other hands up. Welcome back again.
My name is Anthony McLeod. I live on Somerset Street. I know of several children that live past the freeway on Portal Way who walk to school. The after-school buses, activity buses, do not adequately give the proper times in a lot of cases to bus those kids home and to adequately be part of their families. Some of those bus rides take over an hour to get home. To believe that no kids walk to school because it's in a busing section would be inaccurate, and it would be really shameful to assume that that would be the case. I do appreciate, however, the efforts that the council goes through and the city goes through for the grants to improve Washington, but you do have to realize there are kids who do walk to school that live off of Portal Way.
Great. Questions? Yes? Okay. Thank you. Good point. Not all children like to ride the bus. Okay. Anyone else from the audience? Okay, seeing none, Councilperson Mutchler?
Yeah, I just wanted to address Mr. Mattson, who spoke a couple people back, and I apologize, I didn't see it at the time. I've been studying the life of Ben Franklin, and he invented tons of cool stuff, but I didn't know that he had invented the matching grant, I read, in Walter Isaacson's biography. And I want Mr. Mattson to know that what we're doing tonight is working towards obtaining other people's money, you might say, to do this project. And so hopefully minimal cost to the city through what's called grants. And so it won't have the same price tag as maybe some other things would have, but have a great return and benefit for the students at the high school.
Okay. Council, before you, staff has asked to vote on the subject. Any further questions on the subject?
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, great. Go for it, staff.
Now we hope we get the grant. We know how that works.
Okay, next item. Next item is mayor reports. Saturday I had the pleasure. Sometimes people get a bad impression of maybe people that ride motorcycles. On the corner of Northwest and Smith, there's the Trinity Biker Church, and this is the second year in a row they've adopted the Ferndale Food Bank. We have an employee of the Ferndale Food Bank. Wave your hands there. And what was the total pounds of the food they brought in Saturday?
1,150 pounds.
So sometimes when you see, you know, people in leathers, they're not all bad people. So it was a good way to spend my morning. So that's it for mayor reports. Council reports. Councilperson Goodrich.
Yeah, I have a kind of a report from the Parks, Recreation, and Trails Board, and I see we have a member of the Park Board here. One of the things that came up at the meeting is a concern that we've lost integration between some of our boards and committees and commissions. That you have the Parks Board, you have the Tree Board, you have the Art Commission, and they all kind of seem to be doing their own thing but not working together. And then the city and some of the city crews. And this kind of came out of a discussion on trees, that I guess some trees were planted in Vander Yaart Park, and there was the thing, well, who authorized the trees to be planted where, and then there were trees missing, and it was kind of a lengthy discussion on trees and the things. So the one of the things that the Parks Board is working on, and the chairman of the Parks Board is going to try to do, is to bring in or at least one representative from Heritage Society, Old Settlers, Tree Board, Arbs Commission, and things, to at least periodically meet together and run things through, so you don't have the Parks Board going off in this direction and then find out that the Tree Board is decided, oh, we're going to plant trees here, and now that took out the golf course or something, and now they can't play disc golf because we planted a tree in the middle of a fairway or something. So there is a concern of that. Like I said, it did bring in the idea of some of our city staff as well. And hopefully, I don't know if you'd want to add anything more to that, but I know it was an interesting discussion. And the Parks Board wants to take ownership of the parks. They want to be kind of the clearinghouse for the different things that go on. And hopefully we'll be able to work toward that. And it was an interesting meeting, to say the least. And hopefully we'll get some more. And then on a personal note, I will be gone for the next three council meetings. So I will not be here. It'll be the biggest absence I've had in the 4.5 years I've been on the council.
He makes those an excuse. He's out. You realize that?
I was going to say.
Yeah, I know.
What's a
work team? My fate is in your hands. Whether or not I come back to the second meeting in June or not.
Thank you. Any other council reports? Councilperson Watson, and then Bersh.
Just real quick, the Lummi Indian Business Council awarded the Ferndale Arts Commission $1,000 for their art in the park. I don't know what the Service Co-op got. I didn't get an email from them. I know they got something, but I don't know.
Good. What was the total amount?
$1,000 for the Ferndale Arts Commission. They'll use it for art in the park in September 13th and 14th.
Great. Next.
The Ferndale Public Market opened Saturday, and it was a pretty good turnout for such a ugly day. I talked to the vendors at the end of the day, and they had a good day. We need more vendors, if you know of anybody who has anything to sell. And Eric is pointing. He's got something to say as well.
Were you called up here to speak? Or
by Councilman Bersh. Okay. Eric Elton, representative of Ferndale Public Market. I got one more vendor today, a guy that sells Japanese maples and tomato plants.
Oh.
So.
Thank you.
I had to help her out.
Okay, any other council reports? Councilperson Mutchler.
I may have missed it, or maybe it's coming out. But I've been using that wonderful whole vendor trail that's been. Isn't there like a grand opening that already happened?
May 17th.
Okay, we'll bring that back.
We'll have notice of that.
And there's snacks.
But they're, you know, their dignitaries are the county executive and the mayor of Bellingham, so I don't know what it is. But they'll have rocket donuts there. Okay, any other further council reports? Councilperson Hansen.
It is official. There are now two Bellingham International Airport advisory commissions. One is called the Technical Committee, TAAC, and it will be, those are people who must have some affiliation with the airport. Be a pilot, be a commercial pilot, be a commercial something. Airport tenants, off-site parking, they all have to have some sort of connection. The other is going to be called, we think, the CIAC, which is going to be the Citizens Airport Advisory Commission. Essentially, it means that the old BIAC has been dissolved. And I do not wish to serve on the new Citizens Advisory Commission, although there is a position there for the city of Ferndale. I did express interest in the technical and was told I didn't qualify. So there's an opening for a member of the city council to join the... they're still calling it BIAC because they did, but they said they were changing it. Essentially, it's the citizens that
might meet. And they will meet when?
My current schedule is every other month at 9:30 in the morning on Thursday.
Okay.
I think we're both.
However, the port has said we don't want you to meet during the day. We want you to meet during the evening. So that's what's going to happen. It's going to be an evening meeting. Stay tuned. I'll let you know.
Okay. I have Councilperson Mutchler, then Goodrich.
I was just expressing interest in serving in that position.
No, I think there's three of them.
Goodrich. Do you
I did express at a previous council meeting that I'd be interested in.
You'd have to meet the first.
He would just draw straws
first
or something.
Well, why don't you wait till next month to decide, and I won't be.
Let's find out what it's because if it's. If it's Monday night, night. 7 o'clock, that's the first, third Monday.
Councilperson Watson knows something about flight, too.
Yes.
Okay, so sounds like that's some competition. So, okay, we'll wait and see. All right. Any other council reports? Talked enough. Okay, staff reports. Finance director.
We've been providing data to our bond broker in regards to our $8.5 million revenue bonds, $8 million sewer, half a million storm. We'll be bringing you a bond ordinance, a second meeting in May. And just for a little perspective, 3 years ago when we did water sewer bonds, the interest rate, total all-in weighted average interest rate was 4.42%. They're quoting us now, of course you don't know until you sell the bonds, 3.67%. So it looks about 50 basis points lower interest, which will save a ton of money. So we're, again, providing data as we go. We need more data to go in for our preliminary operating statement. And there's a schedule of all the detailed activities we'll do, but we're looking for June 9th to get our bond proceeds.
City Administrator.
Nothing additional.
Community Development Director.
I do have a couple, and then I wanted to show something on the screen really quick.
No.
Star Park schematic. You don't want to see it.
We've all seen it.
Everyone's seen it.
All right. So
I haven't seen it too bad for them.
Is it on Facebook page? So then the two things that I have remaining is I sent an email to you, the joint electeds meeting, which is coming up on May the 13th, and then also an update to talk to the planning directors and Whatcom County on Friday. They received your resolution related to population and employment. And, in fact, it appears that they are going to be taking action on that to look more closely at some of the things we asked them to. And hopefully on May the 13th, the county executive or staff are going to be looking at appointing a task force.
Is that Everson? Is that one?
It's up in Everson.
Yeah, Everson.
Oh, really? Still start at 3?
Okay, clerk?
No.
Public Works?
Nothing.
We know the police department is up snarfing cake down right now, so we will have no report from the police station. So I entertain a motion to adjourn.
No.
No? No. Oh, that's right. Excuse me.
You were this close. About
pursuant to RCW 42.30.110, we will now enter an executive session for approximately 20 minutes. No action will be taken after this executive session. So we'll clear the room, and then we'll go into executive session. So thank you all for